Eating the last of my jerky, I pulled my root beer from the dash and took a swig. I could easily head over to the come-and-go gas station and convenience store, a block away to get some more supplies, but with the bear on the move, I figured I'd better stay put. It was good I did, because no more than 10 minutes later, a bruised and dented crew cab rattled up the street with an abundance of ladders, scaffolding, and sawhorses and grinded to a stop. The thing rivaled Rez Dog in the number of colors it displayed, but a lot of them were spilled cans and overspray from the multitude of house paint that littered the bed. On the side of the doors, lettered in an uneven hand, were the words, Alpine Painters. I wouldn't let those guys paint a doghouse. I scratched Dog's head, no offense. After a moment, the truck disgorged a tall, thin individual in work boots and a Carhartt ripoff jacket and ball cap. Raising my binoculars, I read the name label on his jacket, Lane. Lowering the glasses, I rested them in my lap. My superior capabilities of detection informed me that that individual may just be Jimmy Lane. Dog stared at me. I know, I sometimes amaze myself. Pulling my hat down to cover my face, I watched as he spoke with the guys in the truck and then, as they pulled out, driving past me as fast as the truck would go, which was not particularly fast. Peeking under the brim, I watched as Jimmy headed into the house, which appeared to be unlocked, and closed the door behind him. I glanced up and down the street for the bear, but he was still out of sight. Pulling the vice grips that served as a handle, I stepped out of Henry's truck. I stuffed a folder under my arm and rolled the window down a bit, watching it slide inside the doorframe and then close the door behind me. Stay! The last part really was necessary because Dog had been known to blow through windows, screen doors, and other minor impediments, so an open window was an invitation of sorts. Walking across the street, I checked both ways but saw no traffic, or anybody for that matter. It was that kind of neighborhood. As I approached the house, I paused to check my old .45 caliber Colt in the pancake holster at the small of my back and thought for a moment about what I was going to do next. Coming up with nothing much, I figured I'd just play it straight. I continued down the cracked walkway and shattered steps, one railing lying in the dead bushes, along with a lot of beer cans and garbage. Not finding a doorbell, I raised my knuckles and reached through the empty pane of the storm door and pounded the shedding interior door as some music started up inside. I pounded again. After a moment, I heard footsteps, and the door was snatched open by the same skinny guy I'd seen enter. He no longer wore the jacket with his name on it, but I took a leap of faith. Jimmy Lane? He stared at me, and I had time to study the face on his oversized head, acne scarred with a withered Fu Manchu and limp dark hair that slithered over his shoulders. Oddly, his body parts were all oversized, not only his head but also his hands and feet, almost as if he'd been assembled from parts that didn't quite match. He had the look of somebody who had taken a lot of questionable chances in life and had paid for every single one of them in spades. I hadn't thought it was a particularly difficult question, but asked again, this time mixing it up in an attempt to jog something loose. Lane, Jimmy Lane?
Yeah?
Pulling my badge wallet from my jacket pocket, I flipped it open. Ward Longmire, Absaroka County Sheriff. He read it, or I think he was reading it.
Where?
Wyoming.
Oh.
Evidently, my reputation had not preceded me. I'd like to ask you some questions about your daughter.
You find her?
No, I'm afraid not. I'm here to ask you some questions about your other daughter, Jaya. He leaned against the door jamb and studied me.
She's not mine.
No?
No. I don't know whose she is, but she ain't mine.
You sure of that? He shook his head.
Look, if you're here about child support...
I'm not, Mr. Lane. I'm here because Jaya has been getting death threats. He swallowed.
Yeah?
Can I come in, Mr. Lane? I'd just as soon not discuss your personal matters out here on the stoop. He thought about it and then swung the door open and disappeared into the gloom. I followed as he sat in a chair in front of a broken TV, where there was an old Ithaca Deerslayer 12-gauge, along with a .38 service revolver laying on a weathered coffee table in front of him. Some kind of music with more rhythm than melody played from an old boombox. I glanced around and didn't see any cartons of ammunition, but that didn't mean there weren't any in the pump-action shotgun or the pistol. Planning on doing some deer slaying? He pulled the pitted shotgun onto his lap.
Maybe.
How about you leave that off until we get through talking? He looked at me, still holding the 12-gauge.
How about you go talk to that silly bitch of a mother they've got instead of me?
I've already spoken to Teresa One Moon.
And what did she say about me?
Mr. Lane, we can either talk about weapon possession while under parole, or you can put that shotgun down.